Well, good morning to you this morning. I assume that many of you are playing yourselves today while others are out of town and traveling and going everywhere. Kermit, you did an excellent job playing Kelvin this morning. I thought you did well. Walt, you played yourself well today. So, I'm not tall enough to play Stephen. So we'll just have to be who we are this morning. I do want to ask you, have you solved any of the world's problems lately? I mean, the last week or two? My guess is that all of us have been involved in those things where we solved a lot of problems. It was a discussion at work. It was a discussion with friends. It was a discussion with family. And we talked about so many different things. And we've got them all worked out. We know how Medicare ought to be. We know how immigration ought to be. We know about who ought to be playing in the ball game, who should be pitching, who should be batting next. We know who needs to be sent down to AAA and who needs to be brought up. We know all those things. And if someone would just listen to us, all the world's problems would be solved, wouldn't they? It's amazing how that works. Now, I know that you do that. Because some of us are friends on Facebook. And I read those comments. No, Ron, don't put him into pitch. He gave up 4 runs yesterday. Why are you letting him pinch hit? He hadn't hit a ball, even a foul, all year. The Cowboys are coming in the fall. You're just going to change the comments. Romo, throw the ball. Dez, catch the ball. We know what we want to say. And if we could only get out there and do it, how much easier and better life would be, wouldn't it? Would it? I mean, when you come right down to it, is it easier to be a player or a commentator? Is it easier to actually get involved in the game and do, or just to talk about it? Now, some of you in this room, you have been perhaps elected political officials at some point in time. Some in this room have participated in sports. Some people are church leaders. And if the truth be known, one of those little secrets, most that have actually played the game have found that it is easier to talk about what should have been done than sometimes to actually do what needs to be done. Now, with that in mind, I want us to go back 2,000 years. And I want us to drop this morning into Acts chapter 20, verses 25 through 38. As we've been reading through the book of Acts over the last several weeks, we are now to this portion of Scripture, and we're going to drop ourselves into a portion of Paul's life. He's in the midst of his third missionary journey, and it's coming to a conclusion. And so as this begins to transpire, I want us to look at Paul's life for a moment. You know, we like Paul, don't we? I mean, we really do. If we were to say, someone stand up and share your favorite verse of Scripture, and 3 out of 5 of us would say, let me quote this verse from Paul. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Paul talking. I forget what lies behind. I press on toward that for which Christ laid hold of me. Paul talking. I am found that I am content in whatever state I'm in. Obviously, he was talking about Texas, but it was Paul talking, you know? We just have a lot of things that we know from Scripture that are the words of Paul. And so we like Paul. We like what he has to say. Well, I want us to consider this morning what he's saying and what's recorded about him by Luke in Acts chapter 20, verses 25 through 38. And I want you to give some consideration this morning. Is Paul a player or is he just a commentator? Is he a player in terms of what God wants in his life and how he wants to be used? Or is he simply a commentator upon those things that God has said to him? Follow, if you would, beginning in verse 25 of Acts chapter 20. And now I know that none of you, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will ever see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of everyone's blood. For I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole plan of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And men from among yourselves will rise up with deviant doctrines to lure the disciples into following them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remembering that night and day, for 3 years I did not stop warning you, each one of you, with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the message of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands have provided for my needs and for those who were with me. In every way I've shown you that by laboring like this, it is necessary to help the weak and to keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus. For he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And after he had said this, he knelt down and he prayed with all of them. There was a great deal of weeping by everyone. And embracing Paul, they kissed him, grieving most of all over his statement that they would never see his face again. And then they escorted him to the ship. When you think about Paul, it's real hard to just isolate one period of time in his life. And like we've talked about just a moment ago about sports figures and political figures and all the rest, we kind of want to know what they've done before this moment. We sort of want to know what qualifies them for what's about to come. Have they been a player in the past or a commentator in the past? Well, I want us to do a real quick overview of Paul's resume up to Acts chapter 20. And it's pretty simple. I mean, there's that passage back early in the book of Acts where it says that Paul was saved while he was journeying on the road to Damascus. Jesus encountered him. And he said to him, as he causes a bright light to fall upon Saul and Saul's eyes go blind, Paul says, who are you? And he says, I am Jesus, the one you've been persecuting. And he sends him on into the city of Damascus, and there a man named Ananias comes to him under God's leadership, places his hands upon him, and Paul comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that prior to Acts 20, Paul's been saved. We know also that prior to this time, Paul has been set apart at the church at Antioch. The Holy Spirit has moved, and he has said to this church that is at Antioch, I want you to set apart for me certain people to go out and to share the word. And among those are Paul and Barnabas. So they are set apart, they're set aside. They become what we refer to as missionaries, and they begin this journey in their life to go into various places and to share the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, to share him that they might know him. And so as they begin this journey, certain things begin to happen. We could recount all of them, but we won't. He arrives at one place called Iconium, and there he is threatened with being stoned. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody wants to throw rocks at me, I know that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, sticks and stones hurt, and broken bones take a while to heal. And they're threatening Paul with being stoned, not just to the point of breaking a few bones, but to the point of death. And yet, for whatever reason, he continues to be faithful and continues to preach the word of God. And he moves on to another place called Lystra. And at Lystra, strange things take place. First of all, a group of people think that he's a god. He and Barnabas, you're like gods, and they want to worship them. And when Paul finally gets that straightened out, another group at the same time takes them out to the edge of the city, and they do stone them. So severely that it says that they left Paul thinking he was dead. That's a lot of rocks. And so he's been saved, he's been set apart, he's been threatened, he's been stoned. He gets to a place called Philippi and he gets thrown in prison. If it wasn't bad enough to have someone try to kill you with rocks, now they've thrown you in jail. Then he goes over to a place in Greece, a city called Athens. And he finds out that they've got so many statues to so many gods. And he finds one that's labeled to the unknown God. And he says, let me tell you about him. Let me preach about him for a while. And he preaches to them Jesus. And so all of these things have transpired in Paul's life before we ever get to the passage that we've read. Now, if you were to read that on a resume, and you were to be able to verify that and know that in all truthfulness, all of these things have taken place within this man's life, how would you classify him? Is he a player or is he a commentator? Is he living out what God has called him to do? What God has saved him for? Is he doing what has been entrusted to him? Or is he simply talking about it without any involvement? Well, I think that's a pretty simple question for us to answer, isn't it? There's no doubt that at this point, Paul is a player. He's involved in living out the life that God has called him to. So with that in mind, we come to the passage that we just read a moment ago. And it becomes really a decision that a player has to make. How long will you keep doing what you're doing? Will you retire at some point? Will you call it quits? Have you done it long enough? Have you fulfilled all that you were supposed to do? Enough's enough. I'm too old. Let someone else have their turn. Well, Paul's faced with the situation. He has been working diligently to collect an offering to take to the Christians in Jerusalem, many of whom are living in extreme poverty. Now, that offering is not mentioned here in the book of Acts, but it is mentioned in Paul's writings and his epistles that cover this same period of time, this third missionary journey. And it talks about him going from church to church and asking for money to help these that are living in such poverty back in Jerusalem. It's become a mission. And he's given a great deal of accountability to it. Even here he mentions, you know that I'm not living off this money. I've not asked from you gold or silver. I've made my own way. I've made my own living. What we're gathering is to help those who are in great need. It's become his goal. It's become that which God has entrusted to him to go on to Jerusalem to deliver that offering. And yet word has begun to come to Paul from several sources. If you go to Jerusalem, there's a good chance you're going to die. If you go to Jerusalem, there's a group of people there that want to kill you. If you go on to Jerusalem, we'll probably never get to see you again. We'll no longer have our friendship and our relationship with one another. It'll all be at an end. Paul, don't go. You don't have to go. You can stay right here with us. You can stay here in our community. You can stay here at Ephesus. We can just be a big family. You don't have to go back to Jerusalem. Sounds a little bit reminiscent of what the disciples began to tell Jesus, doesn't it? You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't have to run the risk of a cross. We can just stay out here away from that town. Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. What God has called me to do, what the Father has given me to do, I must do." And Paul begins to tell these elders at Ephesus, "I'm going to Jerusalem. It's the calling, it's the responsibility, it's my obedience to God. There's a mission to be fulfilled. There's a purpose to be carried out. And so I must go on to Jerusalem, even though it means we will never see each other again. You'll never see my face again. I'll never see you." And he begins to tell them bye. Begins to say farewell. You know, it's interesting what he tells them in terms of this farewell address. He tells them, "I want you to remember this about me. I've never shrunk from sharing the gospel. I've told everyone I've had opportunity to about Jesus Christ. It's what he called me to. That's what he called me about. I want you to remember this about me." When you list the things, hey, y'all remember Paul that used to come through here? I want you to be able to say this, yeah. And everybody he met, he told about Jesus. That's what I want you to remember, he says. But then I want you to be aware of something. There's a group that will come into your midst. They're going to come like wolves. They're going to come to ravage you. They're going to come to try to teach things that are wrong, that are false, that are contrary to the Word of God. Be aware of them. Be aware of these false teachers. Stay true to what Christ has revealed to you through me, Paul says. Be alert. Be aware. And then the scripture says he prays with them. How do you spend your final time with a family member? How do you spend your final time with a good friend? Last time you know you'll see them before they move across the country or perhaps before they go to heaven. Paul chose to spend that time with this group in prayer. We need to be united in the fact that Jesus loves us. As we pray to him and talk to him, we are reminded that we have a joining, a fellowship that nothing in this world can break. No matter what takes place in Jerusalem, no matter what happens to me there, we are still bound together in him. And so they spend time in prayer. And then it says that they put him on the ship so he can begin to make his way back to Jerusalem. He doesn't know really who his enemies are there. Is it non-believers? Is it some of the Jewish Christians who are still upset that he has gone to share Christ with the Gentiles rather than just with the Jews? His list of enemies could be rather lengthy. The potential of death is real. It is imminent. And he makes the decision he will continue as a player, not as a commentator. He will do what God has given him to do. Now, I like history. I do. We could talk about Paul and what the scripture says for a long time now. We could keep going on with all of these details. And that would be wonderful. You know, there's something about knowledge that's good. We like to gather that information. We like to gather knowledge. Some of us are Bible study junkies. We go to all the Bible studies, gathering more information. But you know, at some point, we have to bring this back from 2,000 years ago to today, to right now. And we have to begin to answer the question for ourselves, who are we? Players or commentators in our lives, not someone else's, no longer talking about Paul, not talking about me, talking about you. How do we live this life that we call Christian? We take on the title. We like the name. We gather on Sunday to worship. But who are we really? Are we players or are we commentators? Are we those that are involved in seeking to live out and to carry out the will of God within our lives? Or are we simply content to talk about what we've heard and to speculate upon what could have been? I got to thinking about that and began to think, how does that apply? I mean, real directly to us this morning. And rather than calling names, I thought that'd be tacky. Particularly if I started calling my own name a lot, you know. I go back to that scripture that we learned perhaps as children, maybe even preschoolers, be doers of the word and not hearers only. It's a whole lot like being a player instead of a commentator. And I begin to think about some of the things real recently that I've heard in the life of our church. And I wonder if we've chosen to be players or commentators in those situations. I wonder if when that Sunday was here and we were made aware that we didn't have enough preschool, Sunday school teachers and workers, as we heard that and as we saw children in here, did we choose to be a player or just a commentator? I wonder, as Kelvin mentioned, how much it costs for a meal for Voice of Praise. Well, I'm glad they don't all live at my house. But as I looked at how much it costs for a meal, a breakfast, a lunch, a dinner, and would someone like to donate for one of those, did we choose to be a player or simply a commentator? As there was mention of need for prayer for those who would go to New York and those who would go to Shreveport, did we say, oh yeah, man, people ought to pray about that? Did we simply decide to commentate or to become an active participant, a player? When this thing came up about finishing the work, completing the debt, ending our debt this year, signing a little card, how much we get, did we choose to be a player or a commentator? Those are all just recent. I mean, just right now, just right here in the life of this church, without even going outside to what God's saying to you specifically about other things. Today's Father's Day. I think Father's Day has always been an interesting time to me, particularly in the life of a church. I know when I was pastoring, on Mother's Day we gave every mother a red rose. On Father's Day we gave the dads the bill. You know, I mean, it's just what we do, isn't it? Well, today is Father's Day. So let me ask you fathers that are in this room, regardless of how old your children are. Some of you are already grandfathers and great-grandfathers. And Jackie, I heard the pastor say that you were back in 1869, so I don't know how many grands there are on that. But what kind of father are you? A player or a commentator? Is your best word to your children, to your grandchildren, do as I say, not as I do? That's commentating. Or does there come out of your life an example and a way to live of integrity and love and faith that causes your children and your grandchildren to want to emulate that within their own lives? Are you a player or are you a commentator? It's been revealed. Some of you think I need to confess it as a sin, but I won't. That I like country music. Some of you think that that's to my credit, and I'm grateful for the few of you that do. A few years ago, Rodney Atkins had a song out. It's called Watching You. about a father and a son. The video that he did on that featured his own son, who was about 4 years old at the time. If you heard the song, you know that it begins with apparently father and son riding in their Jeep, and the son's eating his McDonald's fries and has his McDonald's drink, and the father suddenly has to stop the Jeep all of a sudden as the light changes. When he does, the fries go flying and the drink gets spilled. In the song, it says, "My son uttered a four-letter word." And so the father asked him, "Son, where'd you learn to talk like that?" And the son replies, "Dad, I've been watching you. Ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo. I want to be just like you." Later in the song, the little boy, as he gets ready for bed, crawls out of bed, gets down on his knees beside his bed, and he begins to pray. The song says he prays just like he was talking to a friend. When his prayer is finished, the father asks the son, "Son, where'd you learn to pray like that?" And he said, "Dad, I've been watching you. I want to grow up to be just like you. I'm your buckaroo. Ain't that cool?" When you're watched, what kind of example is being set, dads? If they want to grow up to be just like us, what are they going to grow up to be? Paul was definitely a player. What God gave him to do, he was willing to do, even if it would cost him his very life. Nothing was more important than obedience to the Father, who through faith in Jesus Christ had given him the promise of life eternal. Whatever God would ask of him, he would do. What about you? What about me? You know, it's really not just about fathers. See, it's fathers and it's mothers and it's brothers and sisters and it's accountants, lawyers and doctors and nurses, and businessmen and businesswomen and teachers and principals and all of us. Who are we? Are we players? Are we commentators? Are we content to simply talk about what God's Word has to say? And if it gets too tough and too difficult and too risky, we'll simply talk. Or are we players? Those willing to live in obedience to the Father, no matter what the cost. Fantasize with me for a moment. It's in heaven, the setting. God the Father and God the Son are having a discussion. And the Son says, "Dad, what are you going to do about that mess that's going on down on earth? All those people that are disobeying you, all those people that are moving away from you, all those people that you thought might one day be with you in heaven have now excluded themselves because of their sin. What are you going to do about that?" What if God had said, "Well, I don't know, son, maybe we ought to get a bunch of the angels together and we'll have a committee meeting and we'll talk about it, see if we can come up with some options and some plans, and I don't know, maybe we'll zap them again and see what happens then. I don't know." You know that's not what took place. The scripture's very clear. It said, because God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. From the very beginning of creation to the present time, God has always chosen to be a player in our lives. He's chosen to love us. He's chosen to redeem us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's chosen to give us lives of purpose and meaning and fulfillment and love. He's always chosen to be a player. He saved us, gave us the opportunity to believe. Not so that we could sit around and talk about it, but that we might become players in this world. Players for Him. Players who live out in obedience God's word, His love, His truth, His teaching, His calling, His instruction that He gives to each of us. Paul chose to be a player, even at the risk of his own life. What about you and me? Do we choose to be players or commentators? Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, I thank You for the example that You've given us in Your Word, men like Paul, who lived in obedience to You, who were willing to risk it all to carry out Your purposes. Father, on behalf of myself and perhaps others, I ask for Your forgiveness when I've been content to be just a commentator rather than a player. Father, I pray that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, as You move in our lives today, You would call each of us into a game that's the reality of life. Living for You, giving testimony of You, setting examples that others might know, living out the truth of Your word. Father, enable us by Your power, by Your Spirit, to be willing in all circumstances, in all situations, to be players for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have a time of invitation in our service, a time in which we give to each of us an opportunity to make decisions that are public and before others. An opportunity to say before God, if we've never done so, to say, Lord, the life I'm living is kind of a mess. And I'm not doing well on my own, and I recognize today that I have a need for You. And so I want to invite Jesus Christ to come into my life, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. He says, if you'll invite Him in, He'll come in. That's His promise to you. And then He says, if you'll confess Me before men, I'll confess you before My Father who is in heaven. So we give you that opportunity, taking a step of faith today, to come and to share that with some of the ministers who will be here at the front. Others of you are saying, you know, that sounds good. I'm just not sure. I've got a lot of questions. Well, there's a lot of people in this church that would like to help you answer those questions. And maybe today is your chance to come forward and to meet some of those people and to get in touch with them and to allow them to begin to hear from you and you hear from them. It could be that today God has brought you here as a believer and said, I want you to be a part of First Baptist Church Louisville. And your first thought is, well, today's not a good day. I mean, the pastor's out of town, so we need to wait till he gets back. I remind you that we're not responding to any individual. We respond to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His call within our lives, and to Him and Him alone. So we give you that opportunity to come and say, we are believers and we're ready to become part of this church. It may mean for some of us today that even as believers, we've found ourselves to be content just being on the sidelines, commenting about what everybody else is doing. Well, if it were me, I would have done this. I would have done that. God didn't ask us to make comments about that. He asked us to do. He asks us to become players in this world. Is today the day you need to renew that commitment, that walk with Him? We give you the opportunity to do so. We stand together, we sing, we worship, we give you the opportunity to respond right now.